Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
Wonderful. Well, also, I wanted to urge you to get a hold of this book, The Art of Prayer. And I wrote it a number of years ago. It's got about 50 chapters. They're only one page long, each sort of segment of the book, so that you can just prime yourself for a prayer life that will help you. On each page, there's a scripture, a promise from God, a bit of my commentary, and a poem that I've written with it. And you will find that that enables you just to start yourself in a practice. Even if you're only praying for 5 minutes a day, it'll start to get you into the habit of prayer. And having a habit, a good habit like prayer in your life, you will find defeats a whole range of other habits. The power of prayer should never be underestimated. I mean, you would be dangerous to underestimate the power of breathing, right? If you thought, oh, breathing, it's an optional extra for being a human being. We could take it or leave it. Honestly, you got to keep breathing. And the same with your spiritual life. Prayer is breathing. Is your spirit man breathing? I want to take it to a passage which is about Elijah in James 5, verse 16 to 18. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means it accomplishes a lot. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So this is the power of prayer eclipsing the faults and the deficiencies and the inadequacies inside a person. Because it's saying, the point of this statement is that even though Elijah was just like you and me, when he prayed the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it produced an enormous revival. It broke a drought. It brought down all sorts of enemies against them, and it released the incredible power of God on the nation of Israel. And I got to tell you, sometimes we think that who we are and our emotional difficulties, our mental difficulties, our whatever in our lives disqualify us from God answering our prayers. But I got to tell you, no matter what stage you're at, your prayers are powerful. Your prayers will accomplish something. You cannot pray without something happening. Every time you pray, you reach out to God. Something connects between you and heaven. And when we don't pray and don't have that connection, our Christian life becomes very poor, very weak. But when we make that connection all the time, we're going to find ourselves accessing riches that we never knew were there. So Elijah, let's just take a snapshot of this character. I mean, he is like the most powerful prophet in the history of Israel. There's like very few come anywhere near the prowess and the power of this amazing prophet of God. He was told by God to pray for an effect on the land that would just stop something. Now, there's prayers that stop things and there's prayers that release things. He was told by God, I want you to pray this prayer that gets people's attention on God. So for 3.5 years, there's a drought. There's no rain falling, crops are failing, the earth isn't producing what it should. And then after 3.5 years, God says, now, Elijah, I want you to go up to Mount Carmel, and I want you to destroy the spiritual bondage that is in the invisible world. And over all of our worlds, there's some invisible forces that are affecting us for good or for bad. When we pray, we bring the power of God into our homes. We bring the power of God into our church. We will never be greater than our prayer life. A church will never be greater than its prayer life. A minister, an individual, a Christian, we can't be greater than our prayer life. That's the 9/10 under the surface. For every hour I preach, I want to know that I've put 9 hours of prayer behind it so that it has some level of force backing it up. It's not education, it's not information, it's the power of God. It's the sense of heaven inside our words that give it power and will transform people's lives. When I look around the C3 movement all around the world, every time I see that, I think, how is this happening? I mean, I go through Instagram feeds and there's C3 in places I've never even heard of. And they're doing things that are astonishing. There are churches of thousands of people. There are churches in the most dangerous places to be a Christian on earth today. There are feats that are way beyond anything we could even begin to do in our own strength. How does that happen? It happens because we've invoked God into what we do through prayer. When we worship, we draw near to God. When we pray, the Bible says you're drawing near to God. How else can you and I ever get near to God except through prayer? When you pray, you exchange your weakness for His strength. When you pray, guidance comes into your thinking about what you should do. When you're suffering, the Bible says, don't call up the pastor, call up God. If any among you are suffering, let them pray. And I, in my heart of hearts, people, I got to say, at every location, Wurunga and Mossman, Bankstown, Manly, everywhere around the city, we want to produce not Christians who are dependent upon pastors, but Christians who are living in a dependency on God. Christians who are strong. Christians who are true believers. Christians who understand what it is to stand on your own feet instead of every time you have a problem, just reach out for help. I know there are times when we're in desperate circumstances and we're in crises, or when we're a young believer and we're wanting, and we definitely need others to lean on. But eventually, let me tell you, every single believer in our congregation will be able to stand up on their own two feet and exercise the calling and the ministry and the gifting that God has put in you and touch this world for Jesus. That happens. The root of that is that we are a praying people, that we talk to God, that He talks to us, that we are guided by the Spirit, that the gifts on the inside of us are activated. We want to see a church that is not pastor dependent on Sundays either, but that all through the week, our culture is that the growth of this church doesn't come from up here, comes from out there in the pews, in our connect groups all week long, that we have activated the ministry, the gifting, and the calling that is inside every single one of us. And that activation happens every day when we simply connect with God, and the power of the Spirit gets on our heart and we find ourselves ministering life. We become life-giving God units all day long, people. That's what you are and I are called to do, to walk into situations and to be God in that situation. I know it's always good to bring people to church on Sunday. If Sunday doesn't work, nothing works. I believe that. I believe that we got to have awesome Sundays. And that's why we have so many of you dream teamers, you volunteers here every week doing such a magnificent job. I am so grateful to you. Our whole church is indebted to you and all that you do, from the car park to the drummer, from the lighting guy to the people who are welcoming. Thank you with all our heart. And as you do that, you will find that the church begins to get activated and mobilized. As we get involved in connect groups, the power of God not only comes off a stage, but in the entire congregation. And we will find Sydney being touched by an army, by a mobilized church, by a people who are equipped and empowered because they connected with God. We're not going to be powerful unless we connect with the power. Your computer isn't going to work unless it's put in the wall. There's some power. The heater isn't going to work. Every single one of us, and corporately together, need to have that connection with God. All of our locations, we have prayer meetings at various times. Your location pastors will let you know at the end of the service when that is. But I would urge you to be in that prayer meeting, to be a part of a people who cry out to God together. The title of this book is If, and it comes from the passage that says, if my people will pray. It's not like if the community is open to receiving the gospel, or if the Christian culture of the world we live in is basically intact, or if there is opportunities for us to walk through. No, the only if, The only condition on whether revival comes to a nation or not is if my people will pray. It's not dependent on a visiting preacher, not dependent on a great event or a revival event, if my people will pray. And if you and I will do that, we're going to find ourselves releasing a power that is way beyond human engineering, way beyond human mechanisms. I mean, we might be looking for better methods. God's looking for better men and women. He's looking for men and women of prayer who have in their heart a fire, a burning fire that is lit every day of their life, so that they can pray. Now, let me get back to Elijah. Elijah is this unusual character. He's a quirky guy. And even though he was that, the scripture is saying, because he prayed, things happened. So at the end of the drought, God says, I want to bring rain on the land. And so it goes through a system, a stage. Understand that God always has processes. The greatest process God has got is the seed process, the strategy of the seed. And a seed takes time. Once you plant on the ground, there's a time before it emerges. We would like things to happen a lot quicker, but I find that always the strategy of God or the system that God accomplishes things is more by seed than any other way. So here is Elijah, and God says to him, I want you to create a contest between the gods, the false gods that all the people are worshiping, and the true God. So he goes up to the top of Mount Carmel. He calls on 400 prophets of Baal, which is the false god. And they're looked after by the king's wife, Jezebel. And so they all turn up, and here's Elijah all on his own. Faith like you've never seen before. This man standing boldly saying, okay, let's have a contest. Whatever God answers by fire, he'll be our God. We all agreed. He said, sure. I mean, if that was me, I'd be thinking, Lord, I'm pretty sure I heard from you. Well, I hope this works. You know, like, wow. But he's so confident. He says, you guys go first. My second nervousness would be, man, I hope it doesn't work for them. Imagine if they do some magic trick or whatever. So 400 and they're dancing, chanting, screaming, yelling. Elijah, he's so bold, he's just mocking them. He says, maybe God's down at the mall. You know, where is he? He's out, obviously. So after 8 hours of their whatever, Elijah says, enough. Okay, you guys, it's okay. I'm going to do my thing now. So he repairs the altar of the Lord. He puts the bullock on top of the altar. And then he pours out the very thing they need the most, water. It's a drought. When you need something, pour out what you got of that. And so he pours it out. And the whole sacrifice is soaking wet. He does it again and again and again. Simply to show that there's no like little trick he's got up his back sleeve with a cigarette lighter or some other thing or just flicking a match over there. He's got it soaking wet. And then he prays a simple prayer. Because this guy lives a life of prayer in private. So his prayer in public doesn't have to be too fancy. Doesn't have to be too grand. He says, oh God, if I've heard you and if you're God of heaven and I'm a man of God right now, answer me. The sky is scorched with fire. It just rips through the sky. They all stand back. There's not one scrap of the bullock, of the wood, or of the stones left. It's gone. It's a mini Holocaust. Boom, it's just gone. And now you've got Elijah standing there like all the people, mouths are open. He says, bring those 400 prophets. And it's thankfully, that's Old Testament stuff. You know, like he just slays them in the New Testament. We're not required to do things like that, which is thankful. Amen. And so he does that. And then Jezebel. You know, he can take on all these guys, but one woman. And you know, she writes, she says, watch out, Elijah. I'm after your head. Within 24 hours, you're a dead man. You just made a mockery of all my prophets and all that. And fear gets him. You know how it is, guys? You're big and bold and brassy amongst them, but when your wife just says that one thing to you, you know? But there's, and he is immobilized. His knees turned to jelly. And he runs. Elisha's with him. And halfway along the journey, he says, "You stay here." That's a mistake. Yet we need one another to walk with. Guys, this journey, you can't do it alone. We all need our connect group. We need to be connected to other believers. It strengthens us. Doing it in isolation and men, you know, it's our thing. We like to do things on our own. He goes for like 4-6 weeks until he gets to this mountain. When he gets to the mountain, he goes down to the back of a cave. And men are like that, right, girls? We're gonna go to work on them in the Real Men Conference 2 weeks' time. Make sure they're there. Make sure they sign up. But we cave dwellers, guys. When we got a problem, when we're upset, when we go backwards, right? We go down in that cave, and we're in there. We're going like this, working it out. Women, you know, you're unique. We love you. You talk it out. You think with your talking. You think with your mouth. You know, like blah, 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 blah. And I mean, it's like this cruel joke that God has put us guys withdraw and blah, 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 blah. No, I want to be down here. You don't want to talk. But it's that thing, and it's very frustrating, girls. I know. Just understand that men have a big space in their head. It's called the nothing space. It's a true story. And you know when you say to him and he's just got the stares, he's like that. And you go, "Hey, babe, what are you thinking about?" "Nothing." He's telling the truth. He's in his nothing space. He's way back there. There's nothing. "I don't want to think about anything. I got to get away. I'm back here, way back here. And you feel it. You're reaching out to them. Come on out of there." Well, God was doing exactly that to Elijah, saying, "Come out of there." And shows him rocks and wind and earthquakes and fire. And eventually, Elijah's at the mouth of the cave. He's come out. He's standing there, and he lets God have it. He says, "I'm the only one left, and I am suicidal. I want to take my own life, for goodness sake. I'm out of here. I'm depressed. I'm angry. I'm anxious. And there's women's after me, and they're going to kill me. And I'm the only one left. So when I die, you're out of business down here on earth, God. It's over." You know. And God says, "Okay, you're done?" He says, "Yeah, I am." He says, "Well, okay, just to let you know, I got 7,000 others who have been praying around the country. You're not quite the only one. But maybe you're pretty unique as a prophet." He says, "I sure am. Who else is going to do it?" Well, he says, "There is another guy called Elisha. And I'd like you to go and anoint him before you die, just so that there's somebody to carry on the business." Well, he's not impressed with that at all. He does go off and he finds Elisha and he takes his mantle off, his anointing, which is the way they kind of appointed the next guy, and just hits him while he's out there plowing his fields. And Elisha runs up and says, wait for me. He says, "Do whatever you got to do. I've done nothing to you." And he's so dismissive of this poor guy. When he's about to die, Elisha understands it. And he says, "Hey, I know you're going to go today," because he's the prophets. They got this insight. He says, yeah, that's right. Today's my day. He says, well, "I want to get a double portion of your anointing." How to really upset a prophet. He says, "What? Just the fact that you're going to succeed me is enough of a problem. The fact that you're going to do better than me, twice as much as me, I'm not impressed, buddy. You stay here." He says, "No, I'm not standing." He tells him to stay in this city, that city, as he's walking around 3 times during the day. And Elisha says, "I'm not leaving you. I want to be there when you go. And I want to catch that thing. That's prayer. That's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith won't take no for an answer. The prayer of faith gets up again and prays again. You may have been let down. You may have been disappointed. You may have found that things haven't worked out quite the way. Don't give up. Prayer, the prayer of faith, the effective, fervent prayer of faith is the prayer that doesn't get up, because the way that Elijah managed to get that rain to break over the land, once he had dismantled spiritual forces that were holding back the blessing of God, by defeating those prophets and defeating that evil spirit that was over that land, then he went to prayer. And he went into a prayer that was a little more intense than just saying some words to God. Prayer is it's like worship. It's a force. It's an activity of your spirit. And he prayed with all of his might. It says that he bowed himself down. And when he prayed, it was like he was groaning. It was like he was giving birth to a new day. In fact, in the New Testament, Paul speaks about, I agonize in prayer for you. I'm agonizing giving birth again. If you and I can give birth to our future in prayer, you will find nothing can stop it. Neither heaven nor hell can stop it from coming to pass. And so he prays and he says to his servant, he says, go up and have a look on the mountain. Can you see anything? And the servant goes up, comes back and says, can't see a thing. But that doesn't dissuade the prophet. That doesn't discourage him. That doesn't stop him. He says, I know that God's got something coming through here today. And I know that it's going to come because we pray. It won't come if I don't pray, but I'm going to pray again. So he prays again. He says, prophet, go up there. Prophet goes up there, looks, still nothing. Elijah, he says, here we go again. He prayed again and again and again. Still nothing there. The sixth time, still nothing. We might be tempted right then to say, well, maybe it's the will of God. Maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe he's not into this. Maybe this is just too much for me to take on. Not Elijah. He said, here we go again. And that is what the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person availing much actually is. He bowed down and he prayed again. And then the prophet went up and he said, there's nothing there. There's just this tiniest little speck of a cloud on the horizon. Elijah says, quick, run. The place is going to be flooded. Tell the king to get back to the palace. He saw the little beginning of an answer to prayer. Follow the beginning of an answer to prayer. Follow the little bit of healing. Follow the little bit of provision. It doesn't mean that God hasn't answered. It's the beginning of your answer. Prayer is the way that we forge into the future that God has given us. And that little cloud on the horizon started to spread across the skies until it was black with clouds that poured torrential rain and broke that drought all over the nation of Israel. That's how you and I will bring breakthrough into our nation, by praying individually and praying together. Without it, it's not going to happen. But the effective, fervent prayer of righteous people avails much. In Jesus' name, I want us to take 30 seconds as I close this message here today, praying for one another. Can we all stand right now and right across our locations, wherever you are? And after we've done this, our location pastors will take over. But I want you to reach out for 30 seconds to your neighbor. Put your hand around them and just believe God that he's going to touch their lives. And if you see anybody who hasn't got somebody praying with them, pray for the spirit of prayer. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the power of God. Pray for the anointing of the presence of God to touch their lives, to touch their hearts, to touch their spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, let the power of the Holy Spirit touch every person here today. Let that anointing that breaks the yoke and destroys bondage flow through every believer into other hearts. People who are sick are getting healed. People who are bound are getting set free. People who are lost are finding Jesus. People who have never felt the power of God are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Dear God of heaven and earth, right now, let your grace and power touch every life here today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a great clap offering. Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason. That we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.